So with this, while she's reading, you can circle, highlight, do whatever you want to the paper. This is yours. And so can you go ahead and get us started, Leah?
The danger of criticism. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's service? Their own master will judge whether they stand in law, and with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord, and if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again with this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn one another? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God.
For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning.
So there's a lot in there. And so what we're thinking, I want y'all to think about for just a minute. What is the main thing he's trying to tell us right here?
Mind your business.
MYOB. That's what she says.
Live in unity with one another, in harmony.
Okay.
Help each other towards Christ.
All right.
Love your brother, really. Love should cover all of it.
Yeah. Say it again.
Love should cover everything that people bring into the church that you may not agree with.
Yeah. Okay.
Not everybody can come into the church with your same thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that shouldn't really matter. If you just love them, if you show them love, then it covers all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to say this too. Oh, sorry.
I was just considering what really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's things of primary, secondary, tertiary importance.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up on them.
Yeah. And I think also being mindful of like, okay, this is fine for me, but what is it, how is it going to impact someone else? And is my decision worth what it's going to do for someone else? That's what I think of.
I like it. So for the y'all that just got in a minute ago, today's going to get in your face a little bit. It's going to make you feel weird. And so that's what the Bible does to me all the time. I'm like, oh. I'm not doing that, you know. And so, what you said, Chris, is exactly what we're going to be talking about. But we changed the last word to preferences because tertiary is just weird.
Yeah, that's right.
So I want you to think about too briefly. I'm going to piggyback off of what Andrew said Wednesday night, was talking about, you know, what's going on in this church. You know, he's talking about body, these people within the body. He's not talking about how we deal with the people out of the body. Mm-hmm. He's talking about, so we're in the body. Now, how are we going to handle ourselves? How are you going to handle your business? You know, like, if you're a Jew, you're taking a break every week. But if you're a Greek, you think the people who take breaks are lazy. So you've already got a contention there. So then the Greeks are eating whatever they want at their love feast. But then the Jews are like, hey, we're not going to eat that. So it's like, well, I'm offended now that you're not eating what I prepared. Like, I worked hard. You were taking a break while I was working to get this ready. So you see how, like, there's all these things that are going on. And so Paul's like, what I think is so beautiful, especially Paul's like, there's no food that's bad in and of itself. He's like, come on, guys. Like, and so I really want us to think about in our life, you can write this down, we can take a minute, to think about what are things that are kind of like, and I don't really want to get into like our culture so much, but more of like within the culture of our own body. And this is not a bash fest, or this is not, I want you to pour out your guts, but it's like a, what is something, because like a lot of times we just hide the things under a veneer of what we kind of are frustrated with, or we're like, well, in our heart we'll be like, well, I don't, I think the pastor should shave. I obviously don't believe that. But, or just like little things like that. And so it's like, but that little thing can fester. And so it's like, I really think God, and this is, like I said, it's piggybacking off Andrew. It's like, it's a heart check with like, how are you treating people? Like, he's talking about their actions, but I'm like, let's take this a step further and talk about our heart with how we're dealing with, how are we thinking about those people when we disagree with them on these things? And I know that's kind of like, we're kind of like still up here in the abstract, but let's bring it down into like what's really important, like what you said, Matt, considering what is really important in this. And so I think it was interesting too is, and y'all chime in, but like, think about how important the Sabbath is to Paul. And he's telling these people, some of you regard these days holier than others. I mean, I'm thinking to himself, he's thinking, I regard one day of these, but I'm not putting that on you. So it's like, there's one thing that we can talk about is like the Sabbath. So like, is that something that you have to do to be a Christian?
No.
No. So that's not an essential thing. So what about if you eat pork? So like, think about these people who get saved, these Greeks, and they're like, or Romans, sorry. And they're like, well, does my way of life now have to change? Particularly with what I'm eating, what, how I'm delegating my time off, if I'm taking time off. So it's like, what's really important? So, you know, like.
Can you give us some examples of essentials, like things that would be, like, this absolutely has to be.
So,
you were telling me about that yesterday.
Yeah, so like, when we're looking at this, now you can turn your paper over. I'm sorry, I'm scattered a little bit. But I'm trying to, I want to make sure that we're really thinking about, for us, like, what is it? I think this body does a really good job, especially of tolerating one another. not like, oh my God, I have to tolerate Felix. Or, God, I have to tolerate Matt. He always talks about crypto. You know, like. But.
The bills were all going to him.
Yeah. And so
he's gonna be laughing at us.
So, and really, what I want to talk about today is not the essentials, because Paul's not talking about the essentials in this. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about like what's secondary and what's our preferences. So, like, the essentials are things that make us Christian. Mm-hmm. Those are things we can't budge on. Like, if someone says, for example, if Jesus Christ is not God, then that's a totally different belief system.
Yeah.
Like, complete. Because if he's not God, he's the biggest sinner there ever was. Mm-hmm. He's worse than a glutton. He's worse than a prostitute because he lied big time. He's a blasphemer if he's not God. So it's like, that's one thing that's like, okay, this is a distinctive. We can agree with all Christians that are Christians who believe that. You see what I'm saying? So that brings us together. But like a secondary issue would be more like, this is like the difference between like a Baptist and a Pentecostal, like a Trinitarian Pentecostal. Like, okay, y'all speak in tongues. We don't speak in tongues. So... And this, y'all, this is super vague, and this is not to attack anybody. But it's like, we're not going to fellowship together. So we're still united on this essential, but, I mean, we're not going to fellowship in the sense of, like, where I'm going to congregate. Now, can we still do outreaches together? Yeah. So, like, for example, my wife and I, we go minister at a Baptist church. They don't believe in tongues. But we go there and we still get to preach and sing and worship. And so it's like, it's not a breaker of like, we can't fellowship. But it's like kind of discerning, like, okay, these people, these are kind of their sub-distinctives. Like, these are secondary issues. And so a preference would be more like, should the pastor be shaven or should he not be shaven? Should he wear a three-piece suit? Should the worship leader not be singing Hillsong? So, but it's like, how often do we take something that's a preference and then put that into the essential?
Often.
And so it's like, whoa, I'm not willing to die for Hillsong, so take it away. I'm not willing to die for my hair, so I'll cut it. You see what I'm saying? But like, I'm willing to die for the fact that Jesus Christ is God. That is a non, I can't move from that. Because if I do, I'm abandoning Christianity. Yeah.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a proverb, I think it's in Proverbs, and it says, beware the little foxes spoil the vine. Mm. And, you know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So I think, like, that's something to keep in mind, especially when we're talking to people, like, just casually at fellowships and stuff, like, how easy it, I mean, we're from Denham Springs, and everybody else is from Baton Rouge, and so sometimes we're talking, and, you know, like, it just comes up so fast, like, well, we do this, and then, you know, from somebody else, oh, we would never do that, you know, and it's just in fun, but if we're not careful, like, little things like that can spoil the vine, you know? And it's just, like, keeping that in your mind. Like, the greater object here is that we love each other and we love the Lord and we do it together. Yeah. So it's like we can't let anything, even small things, come in to cause division.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with you. So, real quick, on the essentials, write down two or three essentials that you can think of. We'll take 30 seconds. If you don't have a paper, I got a couple right here. So after you do your essentials, let's write down secondary. So we'll just go through this list and we'll take a couple minutes. Take your time. Do you need one? We got extras, Pat.
Paper? Yes.
This man loves flowers.
I think they got it.
Oh, it is?
And y'all, I'm, like I said, this is going to make you feel weird a little bit, and we don't have to discuss everything we put down on this paper, but the point is to be like, I really want you to think about what is it that we make essential that's not really essential? What is it that we put in secondary that's not really secondary? Or what's in preferences that probably might need to be in secondary? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not going to walk around and be like, what's your essential theology here? You know, but it's like, or what do you think is the secondary issue or tertiary for my friend here? And so, but I just really want you to think about it. Because, like, we need to have, like, what Andrew was talking about Wednesday, a heart check about how, because, like, once these people do start coming in, and more people, you're going to have different ideologies, different ways of thinking about things. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is not in the business of making robots. He's in the business of making people who look like him. And that happens to look different languages, different colors, different ways of worshiping, different ways of preaching, different ways of teaching, different ways of living life. You know, and so, yeah. And so, like, another way I like to think about it is essentials are things you're willing to die for. Secondary would kind of be like things you're not really willing to die for, but you're willing to be like,
this is
I can really get behind this, you know? And then preference would be like, I'm not dying for that at all.
So like secondary would be like, well, I'm not going to go to church there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Something that would break your fellowship. Not like break fellowship from Christianity, but like, for example, we're not sacramental. Like, we're not going to go to an Episcopal church. Well, I mean, some of us might, but I'm just saying, like, some Episcopalian churches, they're doing they're more sacrament-based. Well, here, we're not sacrament-based at all. So it's like, we shy away from that. So that's something that we're not going to divide over Christ, but we're going to not fellowship because that's just not the way we get down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But with respect, not like they're better or we're better. It's just, well, this is our tradition.
Fellowship, like, you're saying attend church with them.
Yeah,
you're not saying like go get dinner with them.
Like in the what we believe section.
Yeah.
It gets past the...
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Not like we're not going to hang out with you. That's not what I mean at all. Yeah. What I'm talking about is just like, why do we, I mean, like, we got a trillion denominations in America.
Yeah.
So it's like, doesn't mean we're not Christian. It's just, I don't go to church there.
Yeah.
You know, like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, we have friends and brothers and sisters who are Calvinists.
Yeah.
You know, they have a different view of election or whatever. So it's like,
yeah,
obviously we commune with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We believe differently.
Yeah, but if you were to do life together all the time and like
there were not gonna go to church.
Yeah, there would obviously be a split eventually. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm thinking about something else.
And so remember, this is not to like make you feel terrible or to pick on anybody. Because it's like sometimes we'll put things just in categories they shouldn't be in. You know, like, wow, I'm not willing to die for that. You know?
About to say something, but I think you might be jumping ahead. So I'll wait.
You're fine, brother.
Are we supposed to do preferences too?
Yeah. And I want y'all to know, I'm not trying to change what you think about things. I'm just trying to get you to evaluate yourself in light of the body and in light of in being respectful to the pulpit and what's coming out of our pulpit. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And yeah.
This is interesting because it's also making me say, what would I be willing to go to jail for?
Ooh.
If they were to say, stop preaching this, stop teaching this in your church, mm-hmm. which of those things mm-hmm. do I call so essential mm-hmm. that I'll say, I cannot.
Yeah.
And you have to, and I'm willing to go to jail for 5 years for. Mm-hmm. Like hate speech or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we can make it sub essential.
Dang, dog, you're right.
Sub secondary.
That's where tertiary and quaternary help.
Quaternary? What is that?
I'm totally weird. At least I warned you.
I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
I saw the secondary every time. Thirdly.
We call the third category leftovers when we did this with the youth.
Leftovers. There you go. Like
so even less of them. That's a leftover.
Bible translations.
Ooh. Whoa!
Chris just put it out there.
He just said Bible translations.
Oh, loud your breath.
So like I'll give you an example. When I got saved, I was reading the NLT, and then this is no light on my in-laws at all, but they're King James. At that time they were more strict King James. They weren't King James only, but very strict King James. And I couldn't read that.
He literally couldn't understand
I couldn't read it.
He was trying to read it.
Why didn't you read the New King James?
Let's be honest.
I just want to share this part of my story. Is I started reading it. My mother-in-law said, pray to God to help you understand. She prayed with me, and literally the next day I was able to understand King James. Now, not perfectly, but I was more it was just easier to read. So I got involved with this group of people who shall be nameless. They're good people. I was at LSU when I was still in school, and I was evangelizing. They were evangelizing. We were always there at the same time. They would give me tracts. I'd hand out these tracts. We'd talk. Went to church with them once or twice. Hung out with them. Really liked the pastors. They were King James only.
Staunch.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I can get down with King James. And then the first question they asked me, is your pastor preaching from King James? I said, yeah. They're like, okay, good.
You know?
And
like,
so,
you're in.
And, so, and this is not a Bible translation. We're not getting into all that. I don't, because that's not the point. But I got into King James onlyism for like 6 months.
I was so nervous. Oh, I was like, God. Oh no.
It was terrible. And God delivered me from that. And so I don't have anything against the King James. I say that. But I made that an essential. Because it was like the way I viewed the creation story was based on, well, if that Bible doesn't say the first day, then it's not the Bible. Because this is what it is. You see what I'm saying? I remember I talked with Andrew, conversation right here. I remember telling you, you probably don't even remember that. It's in passing. But it was like, holy moly. God dealt with me. I had no idea about essentials, secondaries, tertiaries, leftovers. And so that was something that, as a young believer, I put into an essential that definitely had no business being there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to throw shade on the King James. I'm just saying I made that an essential. Should not have been. And so this is where we can talk about, you know, like you were talking, where'd you put Bible translations?
I put that in like preferences.
Yeah, me too.
So he put that in preferences.
Yeah. I mean, there's some that can get like, oh, well. But, but I mean, overall, it's usually just preferences because, I mean, most of them, they do their best.
Yeah. So I want to say this real quickly on Bible translations. I know I said we wouldn't talk about this, but quickly. So what's really good about Bible translations is it's a committee. It's a group of, like a group like this of scholars who get together and they'll translate and they discuss what's going on. And so when you get a translation that is one person only, mm-hmm. that person is, it's really hard to take their bias out of how they translate mm-hmm. the scriptures. So like, just wanted to say that real quick, because I know we throw shade on the message when it's like, it was one man who translated that. So obviously it's not going to carry the weight that a committee of scholars who've debated on what these words means, putting it in there. You see what I'm saying? So I just wanted to touch on that real quick. So that way, because sometimes I think that's it's helpful to know, to remind ourselves, like, yeah. the people who put these things together, really smart. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they're balancing out each other's bias in that. So I think that's pretty good. Does anybody disagree with that? Like, or just like, maybe we should put that in secondary. But I think you kind of, mm-hmm. what's the word? Like, you,
tertiary.
No, but remember how, but
we're done with that word.
But you said something, there's a word I'm looking for, but you said like, some that are like, so it's like, that, yeah, you qualified it. You're kind of like, so
yeah, there's some.
I'm not going to really get down with this.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's, like, each translation has, like, they're trying to, like, reach a certain audience, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that are like, no, it's word for word. There's some that are thought for thought, where they try to kind of break down the English maybe for somebody who they just are, you know, they just learned English. And so yeah. they're not going to be able to, you know, get down with a 17-syllable word that is the exact representation of what's said there. So, I mean, like, each translation has their purpose. Yes. Whereas some, they get off, and, like, there's some translations that specifically take out certain verses, and you're just like, because they have a bias, maybe the whole committee is like, no, we're going to have a more liberal view of this, and well, that kind of questions the deity of Jesus, you know, I mean, so yeah. there's some, because yeah, it is an important thing, but most of them, like NLT, ESV, NASB, you know, NIV, the real popular ones, I mean, they get it mostly right. So
could we say it like this, that if a translation encroaches on the essentials, then
okay.
I like to finish the sentence.
The fact that you're using a crayon is validating.
That's what I'm saying.
You didn't have to scratch out one.
Oh, that
was
what I was going to say. Like, if an essential would be like the authority of the Word of God. An essential would be like what you're saying. So if it changes that, then it's not a preference. That would be a bigger issue.
Well, I was also going to say, like, homosexuality and transgenderism.
Yeah, that's...
So if they begin to say to us, you cannot say it is sin for someone to change their gender or to have a moral relationship with someone of the same sex... Are we gonna? Because if it's a secondary, then I could quit saying it, right? But if it's a primary, if that's real, then that's something that I have to be willing to stand for, even up to death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's a big issue. That's mm-hmm. to yeah. me. I think in our culture today, this is absolutely essential because it does go to the authority of the Word of God.
Absolutely, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and the way God's created us.
So I think too, like I think we can broad stroke that under sin. Yeah. All of it, just yeah. gluttony, homosexuality, immorality, all of it. So it's like that's essential how we yeah. deal with that. So because yeah. I think if we just throw homosexual up there, then it's like, what about all the others? And we're gonna start listening.
Mm-hmm. And I bring that.
You see what I'm saying?
Bring that because culturally, that's
yeah.
That's what
highlight.
People are going to jail yeah. in Canada yeah. and in Germany for.
Yeah.
Is when
no
they
one's
preach.
Going to jail for gluttony.
Like yeah,
not yet.
They don't go for a Golden Corral. You go there five times a week. No one's bothering you. In fact, you get a punch card
yeah.
and you get another meal. You know, but this is we're going to shut down your church. We're going to take away your kids.
Yeah.
We're going to take away your ability to make money, and we're going to charge you $30,000.
Right.
So that's why I'm bringing that
yeah.
up because I feel like that's something we could face.
Yeah.
yeah. So like moving from there.
Yeah.
Like, under sin.
Yeah.
Sin is obviously sin.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with that. So sin is essentially sin.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I think that ties into the word, though, because honestly, word, how do we know it's sin? Because the Bible tells us.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, honestly, so that kind of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I love it.
That be the inerrancy of Scripture.
Yeah. Authority.
We can avoid
yeah.
that one right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It makes me think of... like coming from the UK, it was even something that I was brought up to think. It's like more the sin, and it does come down to your Bible. But it's translating and reading your Bible correctly, because people it would have been taught to me that going to like a restaurant on a Bible on a Sunday was wrong, or like going to get groceries on a Sunday. Like you don't do anything on a Sunday; you just go to church.
Yeah.
You know, it's just strange.
Do they not
you
cook on
don't
Sunday?
Work on a Sunday. Pardon?
Do they not cook on Sunday?
Crock-pot.
Right. Well, it's that thing. It's that thing. Like, if you're gonna,
it's work if we're talking about it.
It's just an example. Like,
no, yeah.
But like the scriptures say, it's like, well, if you're gonna deem one day, that's fine. You do you, but don't judge somebody else.
Yeah.
You know that doesn't.
I think she segued. I think you segued perfectly into what we're dealing with. So it's like, you see how like the essentials are something we can all agree on. Like we can't redefine sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's irreconcilable.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can't. You know. So now what you're talking about is like, well, if it's a sin for me to go to the store on a Sunday, but you're convicted about that, I'm not convicted about it. Just like you said, I can't put that on you. Because he's talking about here, food, drinking,
mm-hmm.
and what day you're taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you're convinced in your mind, well, let's read it. Where's he at?
Authority of the Bible.
Okay, in verse 5. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than the other, while others think every day is alike. Seventh-day Adventists worship on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
They take a break on Saturdays. They also live 10 years longer than we do.
Thanks.
So, I mean, because they're taking a break. They eat differently than we do. So, but should we look at them and say, wow, you're not worshiping on Sunday? And I know 7 days is a whole... Or if we know a church, a sister church, that's like... Let's say Jared's is like, we're going to start doing church on Saturdays. And we're going to be like, cool. Yeah, I mean, like, how are we going to... Are we going to say you can't do that?
Yeah.
Or like, let's say... you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, there's flexibility there with how we can do it. So it's like, Paul's... what I really think is beautiful about this is the flexibility that we're granted should not be used to make someone else stumble.
Yes.
And so that's because he's like, in the very beginning... In verse 1, accept other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. He's not talking about people who are outside the body.
Mm-mm.
First of all. So these are people who we agree on the essentials.
Yeah.
We have been blood bought by the Lamb. So boom, that's a check off. We don't have to argue about that. But it's like, how are you going to practice your Christianity in a way that's not going to make other people stumble?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, there are times that I have to fast from particular things in my life. It could be YouTube, it could be the news. And so, like, I'm not saying, well, Andrew, you're not fasting from YouTube or the news,
mm-hmm.
so you're in sin. Would that be, like, the right heart? Or what if you're discipling somebody and you have that liberty to be on YouTube or whatever, and you don't feel convicted about it or whatever, but, like, they just literally got delivered from bondage to YouTube. Like they were watching whatever. It doesn't matter what they were watching. They were in bondage. And then you're like, hey, come over to my house. Let's watch YouTube. Holy moly. You're not using your liberty to help that brother or sister, whoever that is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you're convinced in your heart, I can do this. But it's not good for this person. You see what I'm saying? So you can literally apply that to whatever it is in your life. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It's like, what is it in your life that you're like, I can do this, and we don't have to talk about that right now, but I just want you to be thinking, but that's not going to be beneficial to the body if, you know, whatever it is. Like, for me, for example, if someone's like, hey, let's go to a buffet, I'm like, I can't. It's not beneficial for me, because it would hurt me. Like, and I would be going against my conviction that I can't do these things. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not saying you can't go to a buffet. I'm just saying, like, where I am in my life right now and in my walk, I have to say no. You see what I'm saying? And so, like, that's why if you see me at an event or something, I usually bring my own food because I have to portion out my food because I'm convicted about what I'm doing in my food. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not going to let my conviction of that, I can't portray that on Andrew or my wife and say, well, you're not doing this. You're not holy. You see what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm convinced in my own mind that the way I'm eating is to the Lord. So let's read that part right here. For in verse 7, for we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord of both the living and the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? He's talking about, like, why are we going to throw these shade on somebody because they're not doing it the way we're doing it? Or we're convicted about something, but they're doing it. But it's not necessarily sin for them.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about if they're sinning. That's different. That's not what he's dealing with here. You with me?
Yeah.
He's dealing within the body, things that are permissible for the body to do, but might not be expedient for me to do. There's my King James. But not be beneficial for someone else. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's keep reading.
Yeah.
We're going to go to verse 12. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. That freaks me out. 13. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble. And so, I'm not saying y'all are causing people to stumble, but what I am saying is, Paul is obviously telling us, live your life unto the Lord. Don't be putting your conviction on someone else within the body. I can't put my conviction on a sinner that's not in the body. Like, if someone's at lost, I can't go up to them and say, well, brother, you need to quit watching YouTube and all these things. They're just going to hear law, 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 law. But within the body, we've got to be disciplined with how we treat each other and how we deal with our own convictions, how we're convinced in our own mind of our conscience. Because he just said in verse 12, we're going to give a personal account to God. So it's like, if I'm disobeying, for example, if I go to that buffet, I'm disobeying the Lord. And now I'm in sin. For me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying you're in sin, but I'm saying I have to be aware of myself. And you can't just be like, well, it's another church day. You know, because I used to think like that. Oh, church, yeah, I'm going to eat big. And now it's like, I can't do that anymore. And so, yeah.
I think, is this Paul in Romans? I think Paul really emphasizes, you know, why are you going to condemn someone for doing something else? Because it's something that feels kind of natural. Like, when God convicts us about something and it really grips our heart, our natural tendency is going to be to project that onto someone else, even if it's not really what God has told that other person to do. And I've seen that lived out in a really strong way. The church that we used to go to when I was young, it was like, if you didn't wear long dresses, you were a sinner, or you were just a prostitute, or you were something really awful if you didn't wear your dresses to a certain length, or if you wore makeup, you were so awful. I mean, like, just things that was like, it was a personal thing for them, but they projected onto people so in such a strong way that it was repelling to even people that were also in the body of Christ, and they would just cut people off. And I know that's a very extreme example, but I also think that that's in our flesh a lot of times. Like, we think, oh, well, I don't believe in listening to that Christian band. Like, I'm convicted about that. I've had friends come to me and say, I don't like that group. And I'm like, okay, I respect that. You know, I'm not going to listen to that their music around you if that bothers you. But we can just project that onto people in such a strong way that it's like, maybe that's not what God is asking us to do. Maybe he's just saying, you know, this is something for you, and maybe that's not for you to do. Yeah. But I just think it's important to keep that in our minds. Like, yes, God asked me to do this, or I believe he did for this time, but being so careful to not put that on other people.
Like a new believer is very easily influenced if they feel that, like, being projected onto them.
Yes.
It can kind of turn into, you know, they're living for that, for that person.
And it can be so dangerous.
And I think it can work in the opposite way, too, which I've experienced, is when somebody can be very pushy or overbearing with their liberty in a way that demeans you.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, come on, you're free to do that. You're so uptight. Yeah. Blah, blah. And you know, like, I've just experienced, you know, especially where I've come from, you know, I've experienced that in a way that wasn't helpful to me. You know? And it just, we can do that. You know, we can go both ways.
That's very true.
Well, I was just going to say, like, in kind of going back whenever Paul, like, describes the church as the body, right? Like, he talks about it, like, in the sense that each part of the body has its own function, but each part of the body also needs its own, has its own needs, right? Like, your feet need shoes, right? Your hands don't need shoes. I mean, they need gloves, right? But because they're in a certain environment, you know, because of the way they're made, you know, they need that protection. Whereas, you know, an ear doesn't need the protection that the feet does.
Yeah.
And so just because, you know, a foot says to the ears, like, you're not wearing shoes, you know, what's wrong with you? Well, I mean, you just don't have the sensitivities or, like, the proclivities, you know, that they do. So
I want to wrap with three things, so we got to end it. So first, the context is he's talking about believers who are weak, he's dealing with. He's talking to the strong believers, because in chapter 15, you'll see very first verse, he talks about these things. But so how we treat people that are younger than us and more mature than us. Don't tear apart in verse 20. Don't tear apart the work of God for what you eat or what you drink or what day you worship or how you wear your clothes or how you carry your preferences. or your secondary issues. Don't tear apart the body over these things. And the last thing I wanted to say was, next, I just want to say this. Food shaming, which is something that's like, I deal with that. It's like, well, bro, you can eat this. So you were talking about. So it's like in the South, it's like food is one of those things where it's like, but it's like, dude, I can't. Like, I really can't. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm not putting that up to shame anybody. I'm just saying we do that. It's like you see somebody trying to eat a different way and you're like, bro, you can eat this. We've got liberty. Kind of what you're talking about. And that gets in my face because I do that to people. But it also gets to me because I'm like, dude, I really can't. I have to say no. You know. And so the last part I want to say, if you have doubts in verse 23 about whether or not you should eat something, the way you carry your preference, the way you carry your secondaries, these things, whether or not you should eat or whatever it is, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. So like, if I'm violating what I know is right to me, remember, we're not talking about essentials. We're not talking about that. We're talking about these secondary needs preferences and how I think that these things are right. If I'm violating that, I'm in sin. So, like, for me, if I go to that buffet, if I take that bite that someone was pressuring me to take, now I'm not only putting them in dire straits. Well, not dire straits, but they have to give account for God. You made someone in the body stumble.
Yeah.
And so it's like we really got to be mindful of how we carry ourselves within the body and how we take care of people. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And how, yeah.
Maybe it's a bit edgy. Never mind, I'm going to
leave
that
one. I love it. Well, I'm going to pray for y'all. I really appreciate y'all interacting. And I'm really honored that I get to share this with y'all. Because this has really been on my heart a lot. Lord, I just thank you for these people. Thank you for all these marriages. I just pray you would encourage them. God, help us to live, God, in a way, God, that honors you. God, whether we live or die, we live for you. And I just pray you would help us to just do this, Lord God, and that we wouldn't see it as, oh God, I got to do this, because this is what the word says, but God, it would just be a fruit that comes out of us, Lord God.
Yes.
So we're connected to you, Lord. Yes. That we'd be sensitive to the people who are struggling with things. Yes. We'd be sensitive to people who have issues with certain things. And I just pray that you would help us to be more like you, God. I thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.